enemies of Jesus put to him that last week of his life on earth, just before he was executed by crucifixion. And of course, in the shorter version here in St. Matthew, it's a little bit longer, or at least one quite similar to it, in the Gospel of St. Luke. We don't have the full dialogue, although we do have another aspect that follows the question Jesus, the trick question of Jesus, not the question put to him, but to his enemies, and they couldn't answer it. King David calls in the 109th Psalm, or 110th, as some say today, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right until I make your enemies your footstool. Well, David is the first Lord speaking, but he speaks to his Lord, who is his son. So he said, why does David call his son Lord, someone above him? Of him, prior to him, which is true. But the answer of the scribes and the Pharisees to his trick question was, oh, of course, it's David's son. Then why does he call him Lord? And they couldn't answer. And I dare say a great many people today couldn't answer the question. How can he be at once the son and the Lord of David? Because he is both God and man at the same time. Divine nature. Now he has the human nature. He is truly, as it were, through Mary, who is descended from David, the son of David. But he's also greater than David. He is David's Lord, because he is like, for the rest of us, he is our Savior. But let us go back to the question on charity, which in a sense is a trick question. If you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus is the Good Samaritan. A man was lying in the ditches on the way down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and first a priest came along, then a deacon came along, and they just looked the other way, pretend they didn't see their neighbor. And his answer was to the scribe who asked the question, try to justify him now. Why did you ask such an obvious question? Everybody knows, at least among the Jews, everybody knows the correct answer. What's the greatest commandment? Love of God. And what's next to it? Love of man made in the image and the likeness of God. But you can't have any love for the image. That's why I'm a person. Because I'm an image of God. I transcend the order of brutes, of animals, of ants, and so forth. So forth. But you can't love me as a person unless you love God first. This is the point that's not seen today. Let us not think it was just as it were the members of the chosen people. Not all of them, but some of them, the leaders, were constantly asking questions to show Jesus was nothing but an ignoramus. Where did he come from? He's a carpenter's son. He's got no education. He's got no PhD behind his name. And our Lord's answer was, of course, in the form of a parable on the way down. But who came out? The stranger, the Samaritan, came along, stopped, and put the poor man. The poor man represents all of us after the fall of Adam and Eve. Took him to an inn, laid down the cash right there. No check or might bounce or so on and so forth. Any more is old when I come back, and when he comes back, Jesus, who made himself neighbor to the man without a neighbor. Therefore, the great mystery here is how do you love your neighbor as yourself? What's the right way to love yourself? A selfish way? Practical way? I love you as long as you help me make a couple more million, but if you don't help me, that's the end of you, as far as I'm concerned. Or just not get an emotional, sentimental charge. None of these things are true love. It can only come, and this is the point of this little dialogue just before our Lord was put to death. We only come to understand the true charity, the true love that we should have one for one another and for ourselves. Jesus never said we should treat ourselves merely as selfish person all the time. That's not true. But how do you become unselfish? How do you love yourself as God loves you. That is what is revealed upon the cross, and that is what, dear brothers and sisters, we must contemplate. Our Lady will help us. We are close to the end of the octave of her assumption into heaven, her great glory that she rightly received because of the great services she did to Jesus, especially at the foot of the cross. But we must remember that Jesus, in crowning her with glory, was also asking her to do special favor for him in our regard. On the cross, he gave us his mother as our mother to help us precisely to believe, to hope, and above all, to practice that charity which is true charity, which we can only fully grasp and understand and not confuse with things with our pseudo. When we contemplate Jesus, when we know the love that is revealed of the Father through him on the cross. The Father so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into this world to be a propitiation for our sin. Chapter 3 of St. John's Gospel, the Lord's commentaries on the dialogue with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a good man, but he was kind of the expression of the love of God that our Lord requires is not too clear. We went to check things out at nighttime so nobody would see him coming to Jesus. We don't have to be so quiet about the fact that we love him and want to follow him. But the important point here is we should strive to love the Father as his only begotten Son does. Because we are children of God, because we are his brothers and sisters, because we are true children of the Father, adopted at his right, but nonetheless true children, co-heirs with Jesus of the stupendous riches, the infinite riches of heaven. And to love each other as Jesus loves us. Not as it were some political solution, some economic solution, etc., but simply the way in which our love, the love of Jesus is total for each of us and all of us together, and makes it possible for us to requite that love in a way that is truly, we can't be equal, but that we can be one with him. We can have that fellowship divine precisely by responding to his love, by keeping his commandments. Some people say today, you can't love and that's commanded. That's not true. The commandment here is not a parking regulation imposed upon us as for the sake of this one or that one, but as well as it is something built into the very nature of love, of the very nature of freedom, is that obligation which is the foundation for all the possible joys that can come to us if we truly know what true love is and practice it. And our best way of doing that is to be one with Our Lady, who practices so beautifully throughout her life, and especially when she shared in the sufferings of Jesus on Calvary, and continues, as it were, to, in a sense, weep over us also, so late to remember and to recall the wonderful support, guidance that she is able to give, is giving to us all the time. Let us, ask her to help us especially to be worthy to receive Jesus in the blessed, to continue to enjoy his company, especially at that moment, so that we might be ready for the everlasting company of Jesus and Mary in heaven. Praise be Jesus and Mary.